Good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Writer's Block with me, Morgan O'Reilly, right here on 90.3 Near FM. Punctured bicycle on a hillside desolate. Coming up on today's show, we have a slight break from tradition, but stick around for the next hour. We still have all the best discussions, music, and of course, all things literary. Why pamper life's complexities when the leather runs smooth on the passenger seat? Why indeed, Morrissey, why indeed? Never a truer word spoken. Well, as we were saying in the introduction, we do have a slightly different show for you today, but it's still going to be a great one. During the week, we went into Fighting Words to pre-record a broadcast. Fighting Words is, of course, for those of you who don't know, it's in Dublin's North Inner City. It's on Russell Street, just beside Croke Park. It's a creative writing service. All of their services are free. It was founded by Roddy Doyle and Sean Love of Amnesty Ireland. They are running a project at the moment. It's been going since September or October, and in the next few weeks it's going to come to a culmination. A group of young Irish playwrights are going to have the chance to stage their plays, a number of short plays. There's 8 playwrights in total, and I think each play is about 10-15 minutes. They're going to have their plays staged on the Peacock stage of the Abbey Theatre. That's the lesser stage, I think, in the Abbey group, but still a wonderful achievement for anybody of that vintage. We went in to meet some of the guys, the writers themselves, that is, went in to meet the team in Fighting Words and some of the mentors who are helping out with the writers. But they don't need much help, because let me tell you, the future of Irish theatre is safe and secure. It's in rude health, actually. So sit back and relax anyway as you join me on my travels into Dublin's North Inner City to find some of the best literature going, best drama going, right here on our doorstep. Enjoy. Good afternoon, and you're very welcome to a very special broadcast of Writer's Block right here on 90.3 Near FM. I'm here today at the Russell Street address of Fighting Words in Dublin's North Inner City to meet a very special group of young but very talented playwrights. Let's have a look inside. And we're here now in Fighting Words with Education Coordinator Jean Haney. Jean, thanks so much for letting me in, and thanks for agreeing to do the interview.
Thank you, Morgan.
Well, can you tell us a short bit about Fighting Words, Jean?
Yep, Fighting Words is a creative writing centre. We're based in Dublin 1, right beside Croke Park. And what we do is we offer free creative writing workshops for children and young people and adults as well.
Excellent. And how long have you been here, Jean?
We were set up in 2009, so this is our 6th year running. It was co-founded by Roddy Doyle and Sean Love. And in that time, we've worked with approximately 40,000 students have come in and done workshops with us here.
Excellent. And is it all a free service?
It is, yeah. We don't charge for any of our workshops. Well. The reason we're able to do this is because we work with fantastic teams of volunteers. So there are 4 members of staff here, and then everyone else is volunteers. We'd have about 400 volunteers on our database. And these are people from all walks of life, backgrounds, ages, nationalities, professions. There's no set criteria for volunteering with us apart from enjoying being in a creative environment and liking working with children and young people.
That sounds brilliant. But on to the project that we're going to talk about today. It's run in conjunction with the Abbey Theatre, am I right?
That's right, Morgan. Yeah, this is our 3rd year of running this particular project. I should mention that as well as the creative writing workshops we do every day here in Fighting Words, we also run a number of longer term projects. And this is one of this playwriting project is one of those longer term projects. As I said, it's our 3rd year of doing this in collaboration with the Abbey Theatre. And it's a really exciting project. What it entails is that we work with a small group of teenagers. So it's usually about 8 teenage writers who will join the project for approximately 8 or 9 months. And in that time, they will have the opportunity to work on short scripts. The culmination of this project is then a reading which takes place in the Peacock Theatre of the Abbey.
How do you choose these candidates, Jean? Are these all kind of graduates of the Fighting Words?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really, to be honest, it's a mix of factors. A lot of the teenagers who are doing this project would have been in with us before, either with their schools, or they could be members of Write Club, which is a club we run for young teenage writers. It could be someone that just we know is particularly interested in theatre. So there's no set criteria, Morgan, I'd say, for selecting the students, but they'd certainly be teenagers that we probably would have worked with before, and that we'd have a sense that they would, this would be something that they would enjoy.
And there's only eight candidates, is it?
Eight, yeah. For the past 3 years, we've had about eight students each time.
Excellent. And what is involved for the eight guys? I mean, how often do they come in? Do they have mentors, deadlines, and so on?
Absolutely, yeah. As with all of our projects here in Fighting Words, we rely on a team of very dedicated volunteers. And we're extremely lucky on this project because the volunteers that we have working with the young playwrights are all professionals in the theatre world themselves. They are either writers or actors or artists. So two of the volunteers, Hilary Fannin and Una Kavna, have been with us for the past 3 years working on this project. So they've worked on every playwriting project we've done from the very beginning. Mm. This year then they are also joined by Claire Jenkins, Louise Mullin and Sean McGillicuddy, all theatre professionals themselves, are experienced as actors or writers, voiceover artists. So it provides a brilliant opportunity for the teenagers that are on the project to work alongside and be mentored by people who are very much experienced in the theatre world.
Brilliant. And tell us about the conclusion of the project. What's the date?
Well, the reading is going to take place in the Peacock Theatre on Thursday of Holy Week. So I believe it's the 2nd of April.
2nd of April, okay.
And just to explain a little bit about that, what it will be is actually, the reason we're kind of speaking so quietly here today is because we have the writers in with us in the centre. They're all working on final edits of their...
Studiously working away.
Yeah, absolutely. They're working on their final drafts of their scripts. I'm going to submit these scripts into the Abbey next week. And then there'll be a month where the Abbey will read these. They will cast professional actors and select two directors. And then in the week leading up to the reading on the 2nd of April, they will the teenage writers will have an opportunity to meet with a professional director and two actors, and then do a rehearsed reading of their play. So, as with all of our workshops and projects here in Fighting Words, we very much want it to be led by the young people themselves.
It sounds like a fantastic facility. I mean, completely professional. They're getting people to read over their scripts. They're getting mentored by professionals themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we're very lucky. We've really enjoyed collaborating with the Abbey Theatre, as well as allowing the students to work with directors and actors. We've also been going to see some of the various productions that the Abbey have put on in the past year. So we've seen some fantastic plays, like Marco Rowe's recent one, A Few and Evil Days.
Yeah, yeah, excellent show.
Yeah, it was brilliant. We saw Scythe, John B. Keane's Scythe. Tonight we're actually going to see, tonight we're going to see Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream,
Nothing like a bit of Shakespeare.
No, yeah. Absolutely, we're looking forward to it. We haven't seen any Shakespeare yet, so it should be a nice way to end off our project.
Okay, Jean, well, that sounds absolutely fascinating. I can't wait to meet some of these guys now. Thanks so much for agreeing to interview.
Thanks, Bill Morgan.
Our first playwright to be interviewed is Robin Gill. Hi.
Hey.
Please tell us your name, your age, your school, and where you're from.
My name is Robin Gill. I'm 16, and I'm from Glasnevin, and I go to School Katrina in Glasnevin.
Okay, so you're pretty local to Fighting Words.
Yeah.
Okay, so how and when did you get involved in Fighting Words?
Well, I actually came here with my class in sixth class. We did, you know, one of those workshops.
Primary school workshops. Can you remember what story you wrote?
I remember there was a pickle, I think, called Patrick, or there was like a jalapeno pepper in it as well. Oh, Shaniqua the snail, I think. It was quite a...
Shaniqua the snail?
Yeah, it was quite, you know, it was as bizarre as they usually are.
Brilliant.
And then I started coming to Write Club as well when I was in second year, I think.
And what is Write Club for our listeners?
Write Club is on a Wednesday afternoon from between 2 and 5. You can just come and sit down and write. And there's usually a volunteer there that will read your work or give you opinions or feedback.
Okay, brilliant. And so you're part of... the project that Fighting Words are running with the Abbey Theatre at the moment to read a lot of young writers' plays out on the Peacock stage. So, without giving too much away, please tell us about your play.
My play is about a writer with writer's block. He's older than I am. He's about in his 50s, and he goes, he's having trouble sleeping, and he goes to a psychiatrist, and he meets a young guy who's also waiting in the waiting room, and he has a long conversation with him, and things happen that I will not say.
But you don't want to disclose at this time.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds excellent. I mean, it is a play. We are talking about drama here. Yeah. Is that your chosen form to write in?
No, usually I would like writing short stories, I'd like to write a novel, but that's a little more challenging.
But that's a long-term project.
Yeah. Yeah, but short stories would be my ideal form.
And so why did you get involved in this project?
Well, Jean in Fighting Words asked me if I wanted to do it, and I thought it sounded like a really amazing project, and I thought it'd be nice to try playwriting.
Do you enjoy kind of dabbling in different forms?
Yeah, I've done a poetry writing project here before as well.
Oh.
So it's nice to go outside your comfort zone and try different kinds of writing.
And do you think it improves you, or do you think you learn from it?
It does, yeah, because all different aspects of writing feed into each other somehow. So I think it's always nice to look at different kinds, and it helps your writing generally on the whole.
And if it helps your writing to try writing in all these various forms, do you think, I mean, would you read poetry? Would you read plays as well as novels?
Sometimes. I'd mainly read novels, but
yeah, of course.
A bit of poetry, and I like going to see plays more than reading them.
Yeah, what's the student discount normally? Can you get in for like a tenner into most places? It's generally really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good place. We've been going to see a lot of plays in the Abbey as part of the project, so that's been really good. So
Jean mentioned you were seeing Shakespeare tonight at Midsummer's Night. Have you ever seen Shakespeare before?
My little sister, when she was about 8, put on a production of this play, but I'll say this one will be quite different.
Can you remember what it was?
It was A Midsummer's Night Dream.
Oh, like, was it? Oh.
Yeah. But I'd say her version will be quite different.
I can't imagine 8-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
You know, in Macbeth or something, yeah. Killing each other.
No, it was quite an edited version, so I'd say this will be quite different.
Okay, what does it mean to be on the country's national stage for you and for all of the other guys in there?
I mean, it's quite an exciting... it's an amazing opportunity at this age,
yeah,
because you know, you never think that when you're 16 or like any of the other ages that we are that you'd get this chance. So it's really amazing opportunity.
Yeah, totally. Oh no, it's a great achievement.
Yeah
it really is. Were you aware of the history of the Abbey Theatre when you signed up for this project?
I was. I did know a bit about it. My great grandfather actually had two plays performed there.
Brilliant. When was that? Can you remember?
Well, it was a good while before I was born. I think it was in the 50s or the 60s. I don't think they were particularly successful or anything, but it's nice.
But still, I mean, he was on the Abbey, and soon you will be too.
Yeah,
you haven't read them or seen?
No, I haven't. My dad's trying to track down a copy for me to.
Just give us his name in case any of our listeners might.
Sean Dowling. Yeah.
Okay, well, keep an eye out for him.
He wasn't really a playwright, he was a dentist, so.
Yeah, a writer on the side.
Yeah.
But back to the Abbey, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it intimidating at all to. Because it's a big, not just a national stage, but an international stage, I mean.
Yes, and I hadn't really thought about it too much, but. I suppose when you think about it, when you think about all the amazing actors and that have been on that stage and all the amazing playwrights that have had their work performed there,
yeah.
To think that that's happening for us as well is really quite, I guess, a bit intimidating, yeah.
but do you have confidence, maybe, or in yourself? As I mean, you know, it's tough to have confidence at any age, let alone 16.
I think we heard a bit of everyone's plays in the first kind of drafts, and I think as a group there's 8 really good individual plays that I think we can all be really proud of.
Where does Fighting Words come into the mentorship aspect of Is that important to have?
Yeah, I mean, you can write all day, but it's very hard to edit or on your own, or yeah, you know, if you're really stuck, it's really nice to have someone who can read your work and give you advice.
And the people who read your work, are they the mentors and the volunteers at Fighting Words, or your fellow playwrights, or?
Well, usually the mentors and the volunteers. Okay. They usually have good opinions, and they're good because, I mean, they don't just criticise it, but like constructive feedback is always really helpful.
Is that daunting? I mean, have you ever had people really go through your work with a fine-tooth comb before?
Yeah, it can be kind of scary, especially when you're showing it to someone for the first time.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you put a lot of work into it and you're afraid they're just going to criticise it the whole time. But then at the same time, you don't want someone just to say, oh, this is great, because that's no use.
Yeah,
it's better to get constructive criticism.
You are only 16. Do you feel a sense of duty or responsibility when you sit down to write, or even in the thought that soon you're going to be on the Abbey Theatre stage?
I guess I hadn't really, again, thought about that too much. I suppose as writing as a teenager, I guess there wouldn't be as many teenage writers, especially for playwrights.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah,
I guess it is quite exciting that so many the people are going to hear our work and read it.
Do you think it's important for kind of the teenage generation to be heard in Ireland?
I think so, yeah. Again, I don't you know, represent the opinions or the thoughts of every single teenager in Ireland.
And sure. Yeah.
Obviously, we'd all be individuals and have a lot of different thoughts and opinions, but it's good that some of us, at least, are getting heard.
Do you think that this generation of teenagers has anything in particular to say, or do you think it's just important for all generations of teenagers to be staged on the Abbey or staged on the Peacock?
Well, I think it's important for all generations of people to, you know, that young writers and old writers and every age of writers,
so not just teenagers
yeah, should get, you know, their work listened to. But I mean, it is, I think people can, you know, have very low expectations for teenagers.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's nice that...
To prove them wrong.
Hopefully prove them wrong.
What about your hopes for the future of writing for yourself? I mean, you said your great-granddad, was
it?
He was a dentist. He just wrote as a hobby, maybe. Yeah. Do you see yourself doing something like that?
Well, I'd really like to write as a career. I don't know if it's a very realistic
hope, unfortunately,
but I'll have to see what happens. But I hope whatever I do in the future, that I'll still be writing, regardless if it's as a job or not. I hope I still do it as a hobby, you know, even if I'm not doing it full time.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Robin. Thanks very much for the interview, and we'll definitely look out for you in the future.
Yes.
Second, we have Emily Gallagher. Hi, thanks so much for agreeing to the interview.
Oh no, it's great to do it.
Please tell us your name, your age, your school and where you're from.
I'm Emily Gallagher, I'm 15 years old, I go to Rathdown School in Glenageary, and I'm from Cavantini, Dublin.
Brilliant. And how and when did you get involved with Fighting Words?
My mum came across it 4 or 5 years ago, and she signed me up for one of the courses, and I got in, I think it was comic book writing actually, which... I had to do drawing, and I'm not quite good at that, I've been going here ever since.
Would you still be into comic book writing?
Or that's more my brother's thing. I'm not very comical, and I have no drawing talent. My dad's an architect. I should have some talent in that area. None whatsoever. I got my mum's.
You got the other genes, yeah. So that was, you're 15, and you said that was 4 or 5
years?
Yeah, so
fourth class, 10 years old about.
You've been writing since you were 10?
No, I've been writing since I was about 7, or 6 or 7. Anyway, that's sort of when I started reading, I started writing as well. My dad, he always would tell, he would make up stories before bedtime, and I think I probably got it from him.
Very good.
The sort of making up and the creativity and that. But no, I started writing short stories and poetry at the age of 7, but this would be my first foray into script writing.
We'll get to that in just a sec, but you said that you started writing almost straight away after you began to read.
Oh yeah, no, it was myself and books was sort of love at first sight. I don't really believe in that, but it was. Insanely enough, the first book I ever read was Harry Potter.
Oh, very good.
And I didn't like reading before, and I feel horrendously embarrassed from my childhood because I didn't like reading before. I just sort of wouldn't. I didn't really try. And then one day, super, super bored, and I was annoying my mom enough for her to just go, just take this and leave. And it was Harry Potter, and I was with my friend who got the second one and I got the first one. And we sort of thought we'd just read one or two pages. We were that insanely bored that we would read. But I couldn't stop, and I asked to borrow the book from the woman who I took it from, and I kept borrowing books from people, and I got the last book, and it's been a great love affair, I think.
Okay, yeah, and the rest is history.
History, yeah.
You said that this is your first foray into playwriting.
Script writing.
So you're mainly a prose kind of girl in poetry?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I think I never came across it before. I never really thought about doing playwriting. I'm interested in musicals more so than plays. So, and I'm musically inept. So I would never even think of going into that. But my mum, again, I've been going here every year doing various different courses. It's insane here because you can do all the different things. My brother's done photography, I've done comic book writing, as I said earlier, and now script writing. So it's great for learning things here. But she signed me up for the course this summer, and I sort of was introduced to it then, and I was asked to come back for this course. And yeah, I agreed straight away.
Yeah, and you agreed straight away. I mean, were you excited about the new...
Definitely. I was quite flattered to be asked, honestly. I think that was mostly the excitement about doing it, because I didn't know if I'd be good at this, you know, it being my first time, and I'm not really used to writing dialogue, and I'm not very good at writing dialogue. I try to avoid it when writing short stories because I'm not as good. But now I think this is really, really helping with that part of it, and I think it's going to really help in the future in writing novels even.
So you see this as a training exercise for your novel writing, or do you think you might, further down the line, you might return and write a play or write a couple of plays?
I do, yeah. No, I think I would probably be best to stick to novel writing. I do really enjoy the plays, but I prefer being on the stage rather than being behind scenes.
Do you do any acting?
I've been acting since 5.
Excellent.
So I was such a drama queen as a child. My mum couldn't wait to just show me in there to let it go. But no, I've been acting since the age of 5. And
in school productions or in
No, I did
drama
outside
companies?
Drama classes. My school didn't do acting, which I've forever been annoyed about. I keep on trying to get them to do it, but no luck. No, but I've gone to various schools, but acting has sort of been... Acting and reading are my rocks in this world. You know.
Excellent. Oh, that's lovely artistic philosophy. But briefly, anyway, tell us about your play, soon to be read on
my
the Abbey
play.
Stage.
Oh, gosh.
Don't give it all away, though.
I won't. No, it's a supernatural theme, which is another thing that I've never done before. But we've gone to various different plays, and they've sort of inspired me to go along this. I'll say... we have a dramaturge who's been really, really helpful, but I really like the way she's described it. She said, it's an eerie play about a ghostly visitation and a dark family secret. And I really liked how she explained that. I think it really describes it well.
So you kind of use that as your blurb now?
Yeah, I'm going to steal it. Oh. Yeah.
Well, if she didn't trademark
it. To her, but no, it's... I really like that. It's quite accurate. It's mostly focused on the relationship between a daughter and her father. it's okay. not a very good relationship, and it's sort of the supernatural. I don't want to give too much away, but the supernatural element is because her father's dead.
Okay.
And she's able to talk to him, and I'm not going to say more than that, but I don't know. I don't want to cross the line between.
No, you've definitely done enough, I think.
And, yeah,
I think you've done enough.
An eerie play about ghostly visitation and dark family secret. That's how I'm describing it.
Okay, we'll leave it with that. Yeah. So, what does it mean for you to be on the Abbey's stage? I mean, it's the national.
I'm trying not to think about it because I think I'll just mess. I'm terrified I'll mess everything up. I don't know. I feel like I'm not worthy, you know, like, to be on such an incredible... I've been hearing about the Abbey my entire life. I mean...
Have you been there before, often?
With Fighting Words, we've gone a few times to see various plays for inspiration, but before, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, as I said, I'm more musical theatre type of girl, so I've only been to, you know, musicals, and I went to see Pride and Prejudice, but I think that was the only play I saw before that, so it's really, really interesting to see all this. But yeah, I'm sort of terrified and trying not to think about it. I mean, the Abbey,
is it intimidating?
It's quite, yeah. I say it to people and they're like, whoa, really? Like the Abbey?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's the Peacock, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm trying not to think about it, though. It's very intimidating.
Who will you be I mean, are all the people that you're going to be working with from Fighting Words, or will there be people in the Abbey too that you will work with?
I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty sure they're at the Abbey. They're providing the directors and the lighting and the actors. So I think they're doing a lot of it. I'm not wholly certain on it, but
they're locking the writers away to that's how it always is, it seems. But in terms of the Abbey's kind of history, was that something you were aware of? I'm just thinking of
vaguely, very, very vaguely. Not so much like you always come across it in English and history, and because you know,
yeah.
it's the Abbey, it's built, it's intertwined with Dublin's history, so you're always going to hear about it, but not overly in detail now.
Okay. In terms of the sense of duty or responsibility that you might feel as a young, because you said you're 15, are you the young, does that make you the youngest
here
on the project?
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking. I really want to show that I can, you know, I can do as well, because all the other guys here are really experienced and very, very talented, and it's an honor to be working with them, to be working alongside them, but it's terrifying at the same time.
And what about...
That was my biggest fear, I think, when doing this was, oh my god, they're all older and so much more experienced. What am I going to do? I'm not good enough. Why am I even here? But, you know.
And how did you get over those issues?
I don't think I have, actually. I'm just, I don't know. My friends and my family are really, really encouraging and supportive, and they're always trying to see it, and I'm like, no, it's not finished, you can't see it.
Well, so no one that from your side has read your play so far?
No, they haven't. No. I think a lot of writers are like this. It's quite a common writing trait, is that we don't want anyone to see it until it's perfect. Our works have to be perfect before we can share it, and they're very rarely perfect, but they know I've been writing for a while, and they've all seen other things I've written, and
okay,
so they know I'm all right. So I think they're sort of
Will you not show them until opening night?
Yeah, they can if they want to see it, they can come. I'm not showing it. That's their job.
Fair play to you. Fair play. What about your hopes for the future? Would you like to write in the future?
Definitely continue writing. I don't know about taking it for a solo career. I'll probably go into something else. But I definitely, one of my main goals in life is at some stage I want to write a novel.
Hmm.
I don't even care. Like, and I know I can probably, you can multitask. There's people who have more than one job. So like, writing probably won't be my main, but I will write a novel. I am setting myself to that. Yeah, like, there's so many people who do multitask in this world. Like, I know someone, oh, I'm not going to mention names, like, actor, scriptwriter, novel writer, all these things. And if they can do it, why can't I? So, yes, I do want to continue writing, but not...
And what about acting as a career?
I thought I really want... That was my dream as a child. But I don't think I will. The skills from acting that I've gotten are really, really... I'm definitely going to take with me, and they're really helpful in all aspects of my life, I suppose. Like, you know, public speaking and confidence issues and all that. That all comes from acting for me. So I think acting I will always be using, but it won't be my career.
Well, thanks so much for the interview, Emily. It was pretty fascinating.
Having me, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And our final young playwright to be interviewed is Sean Farrelly.
Hi there.
Hi.
Please tell us your name, your age, your school, and where you're from.
I'm Sean Farrelly. I'm 18, just gone, and I'm from Dunabate, and I go to Stirling Community College, still local school.
Okay, and yeah, were you there since first year? Because I know that's quite a new school.
Yeah, I was the second batch.
So the second year. Okay.
There was one year above me, and they were the guinea pigs, and we followed. So
how and when did you get involved in Fighting Words?
I got involved in Fighting Words in transition year through a group of friends who dragged me. And
kicking and screaming, yeah. Or willingly?
Well, I was unknowing. I didn't know what was going on. So it sounds like I'm kidnapped.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidnapped, just to state that. No, I was brought by friends, and they introduced me to the staff, and I felt really welcome, like, immediately. So I asked, could I volunteer for a transition year work experience just to get off school?
What was the event that your friends brought you to?
Oh, it was just normal Wednesday.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
club.
Yeah, just right club.
Oh, okay, very good.
And Roddy Doyle was there, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I didn't actually realize who he was. And then I was like, my mother, water broke laughing at one of your movies, so this is a moment. I volunteered, and I did work experience here, and that was amazing. And then I haven't left since.
In terms of this playwriting project, I mean, how did you sign up, or did you apply, or what was the...
This is my second time to do it. So I was a regular at Fighting Words, and then they send you emails about projects that mm-hmm. they think you might be interested in. So I was involved in a few things. Like, every year there's an Irish Times supplement or like a poetry or something like that. So
yeah.
This was just one of those emails, and I went to last year, and then I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So you've already been staged?
Yeah, I've been staged.
On the Abbey, okay, excellent. What was your play last year?
What was my play last year? It was called Bombshell. It was about a granny with dementia and her 15-year-old grandson who came out of the closet to her, but at the moment he came out of the closet, she forgot who he was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
But it's funny.
And do you feel... you know, older, wiser after being staged on such a prestigious...
It's kind of cool because people assume that you're older and wiser without you actually having to be older and wiser. But it was a great experience. I loved it. Like, that was the definitive deciding moment for me that, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So that was nice.
And, well, you came back for the next project?
Yeah, I was invited back again because it was so awesome. No, they couldn't get rid of me. I was invited back again. And I did it this year. And this year I wanted to experiment more with the space because I knew how it worked. Like, I knew the protocol. So.
Okay, so, I mean, you had a clear... plan to come back? I mean,
yeah, beforehand I wrote a play to be performed, and that required props, or that you know, wasn't necessarily finished.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have continued, I could have kept up with the characters. It was just a slice of a work that I had done that was put on the Abbey, which is what you're meant to do. But this year I decided no. So like, I have like the actors reading from the script and interacting with the audience, and I know how the space works, so I know where I can place them and all this kind of, which is usually goes down to the directors, but I'm a control freak, so.
So briefly tell us about your play that's this year anyway.
Yeah, it's called Possession. So it's about an older couple who lost their children, and they the mother is kind of unraveled a little bit, So she wants to say a spell to bring them back, and everybody's like, oh, her husband's like, oh, you're
kind of Ouija board kind of,
yeah, that type of thing. And then she says the spell, nobody expects anything to happen, but they get possessed by, not their children, two like wandering spirits, and they have conflicting interests, and then the audience interaction comes into play, and then the possession ends, and it goes back to the couple who don't know what's going on. They think it didn't work, so the audience knows. It's kind of like a tragic irony or whatever.
I don't want to give too much, or I don't want to make you give too much away, but you were talking there about audience interaction. Why did you bring that in? Was it just purely experimentation?
I've never done anything like that before, and it was just to experiment and see how the audience would react to something like that. Like, I've never seen a play that has a fort wall in the beginning and then breaks it and then rebuilds it, and wanted to see, could that work as a structure? And also because I think it'll be funny to make the audience members uncomfortable by calling them names and things.
Do you go in for writing as a place where you can experiment? Is that one of your favourite ways to write?
Yeah. I'm not like arrogant in the sense that I think that my way is better because it's experimental or whatever. Like, I'm just, like, standard plays are probably more structurally sound and more enjoyable, but I don't know, I kind of want to push the envelope, especially in this project where I knew what was going on beforehand. Yeah. And I had some preconceived strategies that I could implement.
Did you always write plays or novels or poetry? Did they come first?
I tried to write a novel in fifth year at the start of the summer, because it was a massive period of free time where I had no responsibility and no mortgages or taxes.
Sorry, you're in sixth year now.
I'm in sixth year,
Sorry, continue.
So I thought that it would be an ideal time, but it turned out that I didn't have any life experience and I couldn't write anything. So I put that aside, and then I dabbled in poetry for a little bit, and got involved in slam poetry, which is this performance poetry. The scene has become really prominent in Ireland, and we had our first Lingo Festival. And there's a bunch.
When was the Lingo Festival?
It was in October, if memory serves me.
What is slam poetry for?
Slam poetry. The Smack Alley Theatre is where the Lingo Festival. I got to do it.
Yeah.
Slam poetry is performance poetry, so it's like poetry that you don't write. Like, it demands to be read aloud, and gestures are involved, and there's strict rules, so it has to be like under 3 minutes, and there's no props allowed, and it's very performative. And it's really enjoyable as well. There's a bunch of events that happen in town every month. Like Slam Sunday happens in Accent Coffee Bar just off Stephen's Green, and the Lingo Festival, they want that to become an annual thing, and there's a few others that I'm not allowed to go to because they're like over 18. Well, I'm 18 now, but I wasn't allowed to go to.
Getting back to, you said you feel like this kind of sense of insecurity because you haven't got life experience for your writing. What about being staged on the Abbey? Surely that makes you extremely insecure.
I'm so insecure as a person. I just can't get out of bed in the morning. Yeah, well, I think that a novel length project is harder to tackle because you have to create a person with their own unique set of beliefs and ideals and their own reactions to the world, and I think that my reactions aren't fully formed yet, and I use the experience like the Abbey to try figure out a few things that were in my head already about topical issues like sexuality or mental illness, and I figured those things out now, so now I feel like I'm at a better place to root down and to write something more experimental.
What if I said to you that the ideas in your head are never going to be fully formed or credible? I mean, what if the whole 80 years that you're going to be on this world?
I don't know everything now. Well, yeah, it's life's a learning process. I definitely, I'm a strong believer that I know absolutely nothing, and I never will. And if school's taught me anything, it's the fact that I know nothing.
Socrates.
Yeah, that's it. School taught me that as well. But I feel like you have a better grasp of, like, your awareness is widened, so you're not so focused on things that become trivial later on in life that seem super important to you now. So you're more aware of other people, which is a nice thing to be aware of, because like there's a lot of solipsism people like obsessed with the idea that they're the main character in their lives and the world revolves solely around them. And like, it's like, everybody can deny it, but deep down they believe it's true. You're like, oh, this is subservient to me, and only I hope that's not just me. But then, like, when you grow up a little bit, you slowly come to realize that, oh, people have their own consciousness and their own sets of beliefs, and if you want to get on in life and not be, you know, stabbed or shoved or ostracized, then you have to learn to try to understand and to observe and to convey and communicate in any means you know how. And for me, that's writing.
Excellent. Wow, fantastic. What about, you said all those wonderful things that you just said were writing to you. As a young person, do you have like responsibility to maybe fellow teenagers or to the generation that you're writing to try and put a spotlight on issues that are important to you?
Yeah, I used to think that I was, because I was given such platforms to get my ideas out there, not strictly to a younger audience as well, like people who attend the Abbey tend not to be teenagers, or people who like read the Irish Times or attend poetry festivals. Like, they're not, you know, the people with whom I'd have the most experience in my everyday life.
Absolutely.
So I always felt like I had the moral obligation to stand up and to show their views, but then I realized that that was redundant and stupid and not okay, because who am I to share their views? Because like, everybody is extremely complex in their own right, and like, the more I get on in life, the more I come to appreciate that and understand that. So I feel like any view that I would be able to give of them, or it would be narrow and really simplified, and I don't think that would do them justice. So what I try to do is just share what's in my head and what my experiences and my opinions, and hopefully if people can relate to that, then hooray. But if not, then at least I've stayed honest to who I was, and I didn't try to change based on any social connections or whatever.
Okay, yeah, excellent. Hopes for the future. I mean, have you done your CAO yet?
Yeah. Oh God.
What about the future for Sean?
Well, I wanted to be a doctor, but then I discovered writing, and my parents were distraught. I was like, yeah, no, I want to, like, when I was 8, I was like, I want to cure diseases. Like, there's video recordings of me wanting, saying that. And then I discovered fighting words in transition year, and it just, I came back to my parents like, yeah, I want to be a failed writer. I want to do English in college, and, you know, embrace the artistic side. And they were so distraught and disappointed. They were like, no, what have we done? We failed you. But yeah, no, I want to do English in university and just maybe do it with something else, like join a few societies just to become fully unemployable and see where that goes. Like, I'm gonna write all the way through, so hopefully I catch a break, but if not, you know, I can teach or do something. And I want to travel as well, but you know, you need money to travel, so.
Well, it's good to have dreams.
It is good to have dreams.
No, but maybe art will cure more people than medicine, so I wish you luck.
That's
in that.
Really deep. Okay.
Thanks very much, Sean. All the best for the future.
And now we meet Sean McGillicuddy from Kerry, actor and mentor.
Okay, Sean, thanks for agreeing to do the interview. Can you tell us who you are, what's your occupation, just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Sean McGillicuddy, and I'm a former secondary school teacher of English and maths. And recently I took it upon myself to go into the world of acting full time.
Okay, and I mean, you're one of the mentors here, we should say, for all the young playwrights. How did you get involved in Fighting Words initially?
Well, when I moved up to Dublin, a friend of mine is an illustrator here, Sinead, and she said that I'd really enjoy this. So I met with Sarah, and next thing I know, I was, you know, volunteering.
Fast track.
Volunteering with the primary kids. And then we did a week-long course in the summer for playwriting. So I was involved in that, and then they asked me to be involved in the kind of Abbey playwriting one here at the moment.
Yeah, because I think this is the second or third year that it's running now, so is some of the other mentors and volunteers, have they been here the 3 years, but this is only your first?
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple now who have been here for, I think this is the third year. There's a few who have been in since the beginning, you know, which is great then, because they were able to kind of guide me as well, you know, and tell me what's kind of the best practice really for this particular thing, what works and what doesn't. So it kind of cuts out a lot of time.
And what kind of stuff do you, what's your role with the guys?
Well, they're all writing one act plays, so it's fantastic, the different kind of genres that they're doing, you know, they're from, and even the different ages and backgrounds that they come from, you know, it's brilliant. Like, they're based, I suppose, about 15 to 18 year olds. So what we do is we kind of just give them an opportunity to write their own work and then help them along the way. So if it's helping them with characterization, setting, plot, anything, without putting any words in their mouths, just kind of giving them a structure for the drama. Yeah. We do a lot of individual work then. We have kind of, I suppose you call them round tables every now and then, and say, oh, who's getting on well, who's not getting on, who's having this problem. And a lot of the times, everyone is having the same problem, you know.
Okay.
Whether it's with...
What are the most frequent problems?
I guess one of the most frequent would be characterization, actually. They'll have two characters, and there'll be two different characters, but they'll speak exactly the same. So that's one of the first things that one of the first hurdles that you have to get over. You have to have two individual voices and make sure that they're not your own voice. Because a lot of the time when you're writing drama, one of the characters becomes you.
Yeah.
You know, your own personality, the own way you speak. So kind of just help them getting over these few hurdles. That's only a small little one, like, you know, but a lot.
You're an actor yourself. I mean, what do you have lots of experience in workshopping and drama groups and...
I do, yeah. I ran a drama group for 2 years, acting and performance, and it was for teenagers again, from 18 to 13 to 18 again, and we had about 30 in the group, and we workshopped plays, and we did comedy sketches, we did a lot of improvisation, a lot of kind of character building things for themselves, a lot of, I guess, a lot of speech and drama stuff without calling it speech and drama, they hate that, so I called it acting and performance, and we had a great time, you know, it was great fun.
We just changed the label on the team.
Yeah, exactly,
becomes,
Very
innovative, excellent. And have you any upcoming, are you acting at the moment?
I'm doing all different types of things, so I just finished a couple of theatre pieces over the last few months. I'm continuously doing short films, advertising campaigns, things like this. I do some corporate things as well, corporate acting gigs. I keep in touch with the teaching as well, like with the secondary school teaching, because it's quite important, you know.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of workshops with that and different things with the education boards.
And why did you want to get involved with this project in particular, not let alone Fighting Words?
Well, I love teaching young people. That's absolutely fantastic. And that's one of the main things that I miss after quitting the teaching and going full-time acting.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity for me to keep in touch with that. And I just really, really enjoy it, you know. So this was a great outlet for it.
And what are the emotions running through you when you see all the talent in the room next door?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's brilliant, you know, to see such promising talent coming through and so young and so able. You know, it would kind of... build you up, like, it would you know, I suppose give you kind of, I suppose, confidence or
hope
is a very strong word, like, you know, but at sometimes it kind of gives you almost confidence in yourself, and it gives you a drive. Like, I haven't written anything in a while, and I used to write quite a lot when I was running the course, you know, for the plays that we'd be putting on, and I'd come away from here going, right, okay, I'm gonna go back at that play that I was doing, if they can do it, I can do it, type thing. So
that's brilliant, really uplifting stuff. Well, Sean, thanks very much for the interview. It's really great to talk to you.
You too, Martin, thanks.
Well, we've been introduced to 3 playwrights, but of course there are 8 playwrights on the programme. I wonder who they are.
Okay, so we're here with the remaining 5 playwrights from the project that Fighting Words is running with the Abbey Theatre. We're just going to do a really quick shot around the circle and just to find out who they are and what their play is. So if you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your play.
My name is Alicia King. I'm from Talla and I'm 16 years old, and I'm in Olbon County School in Talla. My play has 2 characters, and it follows like a kind of church scandal in 1950s Ireland. And my kind of first idea for my play was that about like how in life like people can help us, but often we're too afraid to say like things, so like people can get hurt and stuff. And that was kind of the idea around my play.
Excellent, Alicia. Thanks so much.
Next.
Yeah. I'm Luke. I'm from Inchicore. I'm 15 years old. I go to Clochachillean in Clondalkin. My play is a sort of play within a play type thing. It starts off with one monologue, and then the actor sort of breaks down, gives up on the play, and the rest of the play is sort of a back and forth between the director and the actor. Eventually, by the end, you sort of have an understanding of why the actor broke down and all that. So, yeah.
Luke, brilliant. Good man. Next.
Hi, my name's Rory. I'm from Malahide. I'm 15. I go to school in Belvedere College in the inner city of Dublin. My play is about a psychopathic teenage boy who visits a therapist who isn't actually a therapist, but a woman put in place by the police to catch the killer of two teenagers, one of whom has a connection to the therapist, and that's why the therapist is trying to catch the teenage boy.
Okay, excellent. Thanks so much. And next.
Hi, my name is Keane Nugent-McGailey, and I'm from Lusk. I'm 17, and I go to Skerries Community College in Skerries. And my play is called Arthur Wakes Up, and it's about a painting who ends up confronting a burglar who enters his house. So that's pretty much the gist of it.
Okay, very interesting. And finally.
My name is Dove. I'm 17. I'm from Fisborough, and I go to school in Crumlin, Loretto College. My play is about immigration. It follows the story of a young boy who's come to Ireland, and the play's about his reaction to Irish culture.
Okay, brilliant. Five very interesting plays. You won't actually catch them on the 2nd of April on the Peacock stage in the Abbey Theatre, because this is not a ticketed event, it's VIPs only. So, but that wraps it up for us here today in Fighting Words. Thanks so much for listening. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed listening to our trip to Fighting Words during the week, because that's all we have time for today. Joe Collins will be here next week at 3:30 with Cover to Cover, Near FM's book review show, and I won't be here until 2 weeks' time. March the 13th, we'll be talking to Cecil Allen about his new novel, The Actor. Just before you go, there's something I'm really looking forward to publicise. There's a new series that Near FM is producing. It's a 10-part radio series reinterpreting the Dublin One City One book of last year, If Ever You Go, A Map of Dublin in Poetry and Song. It's edited by Pat Bourne and Jared Smith. The series takes a unique look at the book from a Northside Dublin perspective, focusing on the poems and poets and songs associated with the north side of Dublin. The series features many well-known poets reciting and being interviewed about the poems they have featured in the book, including some really big names in here: Paula Meehan, Theo Dorgan, Dermot Bulger, and some up-and-coming poets like Colm Keegan, Jessica Traynor, Alan Jude Moore. It's a fantastic series. It's going to be broadcast on Near FM for 5 weeks in March, with 2 episodes a week broadcasting back-to-back from Mondays 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to start on Monday the 2nd of March, so that's just in a couple of days' time. So I'd really, really recommend you look out for that one. Well, again, as I said, that's all we have time for today. As always, if you'd like to contact the show or publicise any events, or if you'd like to just contribute in any way, you can get me. My email is morgan_o'reilly@live.com. All of the info, news, podcasts and updates of the show will be published on Twitter. The Twitter handle is @morgan_o'reilly. I'm going to leave you out now with a beautiful song by none other than, well, he's a Southsider, but he's one of Dublin's proudest sons, and it is, of course, Phil Lynott with Old Town.
The old Covent Garden, I remember only too well.